Good evening. This morning we were looking at the excellent spirit which Daniel had and which the world recognized, which the emperors could see and all the world about him could see because he was full of not just an excellent human spirit, but he was full of the spirit of God. And those in the world surrounding him could see it. They may not have understood all of the truth of the religion that Daniel observed or the God that he worshiped, but they knew there was something valid about him because of this spirit which was within him. It was the Holy Spirit of God. So tonight we're talking a little bit more about how we may be full of this spirit. We looked at what we saw there in Daniel. Daniel was one who removed himself from the environments where God's spirit will not go, and he drew himself unto the presence of the Spirit of God. So we're going to look a little bit more, and to start it, the passage that comes to mind, and I mentioned it this morning, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 speaks of this reality of the Holy Spirit, which is true for you and me. This promise to have the Holy Spirit, Peter said, is for everyone who is far off and everyone who is near and for all people. This promise upon the confession of Jesus Christ and the baptism, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, where we are forgiven and filled up with the Spirit of God. So that's Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and we know that. But as I said, there's more to it than simply being baptized and then being finished. There's something we need to do. In fact, there's something we need to be doing perpetually, something we need to be doing constantly. So I'm going to start by reading something that Jesus said in John chapter 7, and I believe that it helps us to, it clues us into what we are to do. Jesus was at the feast of Booths. This is in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. It says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his water will flow rivers, or out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now notice, he says, "Come to me," and he says, "Drink from me." And you wonder, what do you mean by that? Well, John comments, and he says he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He had not yet come, but those who believed in him after Jesus had ascended to heaven would receive this Spirit. And notice what it says of those who drank from this Spirit. Those who came to Christ and drank, out of their heart will flow rivers of life. So by coming to Christ and bringing him into your life, there is something that is then coming out of your heart by which others may come to know life, by which others may come to know God. There would be a river of life flowing out of you. Now, it did not come from you. You are not the source. But as you go to the fountain and you drink from that fountain, then that is what is coming from you. And others may see that, and they themselves also may be saved. This imagery of the Spirit of God or the presence of God being as a drink, something that we should constantly be drinking, is something that is in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Jesus mentions it right here. A couple of passages in Joel chapter 2, which Peter said on the day of Pentecost, that what they were all witnessing in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Notice the terminology there, the pouring out. You almost see him as a liquid, something that's in a jar. He's being poured out upon them. And it says this in Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. So the Spirit of God is poured out. Joel prophesied about it on the day of Pentecost. Peter said this is what Joel was talking about. And then Peter went on to say, and it's not just for those that are here right now, but anyone who would believe in Jesus Christ and be baptized would be filled up with this Spirit. They themselves would have this gift. And this gift would be for anyone who ever came to Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said, you must come to me and you must drink from this Spirit. Over in Isaiah chapter 55, you can turn there if you'd like. Isaiah chapter 55. And in verse 1, God says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. God is saying this to his people Israel. Now, they were desperately in need of a drink because they had been choosing to fill themselves with everything except for God. They believed that their resources, their money, their crops, the harvest, all of it came from so many other things. And so that's what they were filling their time with. The thing that you believe is going to make you successful is the thing you're going to pour your own self into. Well, they had looked at the surrounding nations and they believed that these other gods that the nations were worshiping, that's what was making them successful. This is kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. There was some success in some of the surrounding regions. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, there's this great Babylon, and he even thought that he had built this great thing by himself. And because he's worshiping idols, Israel, Judah, all of them, they looked and they thought, well, there's success there. So they're drinking from the wrong source. And God eventually caused famine to come upon them. They eventually were parched. They eventually needed something to drink. And so they would then turn to God and say, I need something. So the Old Testament talks about this. God promises, my spirit will come. Jesus in John chapter 7 says this spirit would come and you would drink from him. Now I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is in the context of the various elements of the Holy Spirit and the way that God apportions, you know, different gifts within the body. The body is not one member, but it is many members, and every member has a different function and a different purpose. But I want you to see in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Now, again, God said, anybody who's thirsty, come to me and you'll drink. Joel said in the latter days, God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. On the day of Pentecost, they're doing this. Jesus, before Pentecost, pointing forward to it, said that anybody who's thirsty, come to me and drink. See that woman there at the well? She came to Jesus and Jesus said, I'll give you living waters, and the person who drinks from this will never need to drink ever again. You will be quenched in your deepest person. The Bible repeatedly says that there is a satisfaction and a fulfillment that comes from being filled up with Jesus Christ. We need not be empty. We need not be these vessels that are drained and dry. We need not be hopeless. We need not be cast down. We need not be depressed. We need not be anxious. We can come to the fountain and drink from that which will quench our deepest and remotest thirst. And you and I, we have many neighbors and we have many friends. And there's a lot of people here in this community, even in a Christian community. that are going out and they are in search of something. They are hungry and they are thirsty for something. Now, we would contend with what it is they've chosen to fill themselves with. We would say, well, that's a problem. You're seeking fulfillment and joy. You're seeking something. You want to fill that. Everybody wants to fill it because we were made to be in the presence of God. And we were made, in fact, to be filled up with God. We were made in the image of God. There's nothing else in the world that can satisfy. But when you look on someone in the world who's going about and they're seeking to quench their thirst, you have common ground with them just on that basis. Because you also were thirsty, and you also were in search of something that would satisfy it. So even if they're going to the wrong source, and they go to many wrong sources, many of them are seeking it out in sex, or in drugs, or in drunkenness, or in perhaps it's just materialism. Maybe it's just getting the next big thing. Maybe it's the applause of men. They are searching after something. There's a longing in the heart. There's a thirst that is there. And we can relate with them on those grounds. Now, the problem is they've sought to quench their thirst in all the wrong environments. You and I, at one time, we sought to quench that thirst in the wrong environments as well. Now we know there is a place where I can go and I can drink and I can be satisfied. And that place is Jesus Christ, and it is by the Holy Spirit of God. So you and I, what we need to be doing is drinking in the Holy Spirit. And we need to be doing that constantly. It's not just a one-time action. You don't just come to Christ one time 10 years ago and say, okay, I did it. And the other thing is, you don't just come to Christ to drink one time a week. What if the only time you drink from the Spirit of God is this 1 hour or 2 hours that we gather on Sunday? What if that's all you're doing all week long? Then you're living your whole week totally parched. And you're going out into the world and you're going to work and you're going all these various places and you're dried up on the inside. You wake up in the morning, you don't feel good, you don't feel well, there's no satisfaction. And you wonder, why is it so difficult? I go to church, I was baptized, Well, I wonder, what well are you drinking from and how often are you drinking it? Are you pursuing after Jesus Christ in the same way that you would seek to quench your physical thirst? When you're mowing the lawn on an Abilene summer day, does anybody need to tell you to go inside and get a big old drink of ice cold water? Is there anything better than coming in out of the hot sun and having one of those big plastic cups that the condensation is running down the outside of it because it's so cold and the ice? There's nothing better than that. And you don't have to tell me to do that. See? But what I think happens is when it comes to our spirits, which we need to be drinking in God all the time, when it comes to our spirits, Satan is just throwing stuff in front of us all the time saying, I got something for you to drink. I got something. You're feeling a little lonely? I got something that'll fill that loneliness. You're feeling a little sad? I got something that'll take the edge right off of that. You're feeling a little desperate? I know how to quench that thirst. These things are thrown in front of us. It's all kinds of stuff that does not actually quench the thirst. You and I, we should know better because we've done it long enough. We've gone to the wrong sources enough times that when we went there and we took a drink, we found ourselves to be thirstier still even after the fact. And now alongside that was guilt. And we wished I had not drunk from that well. But I wonder when, as mature Christians, we will simply go to Jesus Christ in the hour of need and the hour of longing. Even when there is a lust or a desire that is deep within us that we wish to fulfill in a base way, when will we learn to go to the presence of God, the throne of God, and lay that out before Him? God, I'm thirsty. There's something deep inside of here that I wish to satisfy. And there's all these things that are thrown before me, and they look appealing, and they seem like they'd quench my thirst, but I know that they will not. How many of us turn to Jesus in that hour of thirst? How many go to the Spirit in the hour of temptation to say, Spirit, fill me. Give me what my heart truly is longing after. I know I'm longing for something. I need something that's a good longing. Don't let me be fooled again by those things that will destroy me. We are made to drink from the Spirit, and we should be doing it all the time. Paul said we were baptized into one Spirit, and all of us were made to drink from this one Spirit. He is available. And the marvelous thing is, right before us, right before you and me, is a table laid upon which there is a drink that will satisfy everything that we've ever wanted. And yet we turn to the wrong source all the time. We go to poisoned waters. We go to bitter waters and we drink from them and we have a bellyache. Well, there's a place we can go and we can drink. This is why in the scripture reading this morning and the last verse that I want to mention to you tonight in Ephesians chapter 5, a verse that we often use to speak of the command to sing, but there's really a lot more to it than that. The command really isn't to sing. That's just an outgrowth of what the actual command is. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and following. Listen to this, Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But," notice the contrast, here's the command, "but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, first of all, there is a secret right in here about how to overcome any lust, any desire, any addiction, any of that stuff. Typically, the way that we'll go at it, if we know we're doing something that we shouldn't do, the way we go at it is we say, well, I'm just going to stop doing whatever that is. And we make our action a negative one. Well, that's not enough. To simply cease doing something is not enough. Because if I'm thirsty and I've been going to this wrong well, this poisoned well, and I've been drinking from it, it does not settle my thirst to simply say, I'll no longer go to that well. And so if Paul had stopped in verse 18 by saying, do not get drunk with wine, and had stopped there to say, stop going to that well, stop drinking from that, there's a lot of people think that's what Christianity is. It's just a don't drink from that, don't drink from that, don't drink from this. And they think that all it is us binding ourselves up and living a life where there is no pleasure, no joy, no fulfillment, no satisfaction. And yet Paul did not stop there. He didn't say simply stop getting drunk at that well. He said, but be filled, and notice the contrast there. To be drunk is to be filled up with wine. That's what makes you drunk, is when you drink too much of it. When you get filled up and it alters your mind. He says, don't do that. But he does say, in contrast, but what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled up. So what's the don't get drunk on wine, but be filled up on the Holy Spirit. So what are we drinking? We're drinking in the Holy Spirit. How often should we do it? Every single day. Wake up in the morning. Do you need a drink when you wake up in the morning? I do. I love to get my coffee. I've found that sometimes the Holy Spirit is stronger after I've had two or three cups. And that makes me wonder, what really is the source of my good mood? Am I being filled up by God? Or am I seeking something else? Go to God first thing. We need to drink all day long. Church, we need more of each other, not less. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Let's just look at it real quick. Go over there, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And here, so that's the command. Let us consider how to stir one another up. You know, sometimes we get settled like silt at the bottom of the lake. We're just sitting down there doing nothing. You need somebody to come along into those waters and stir them up a little bit. If you leave church a little bit stirred up, that's a good thing. If you leave church and it causes you to go investigate something deeper or have a conversation about something or it moves you to make a change in your life, even if it was challenging, that's a good thing. Stir up those waters. We shouldn't be stagnant waters. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And then he says, here's how you do it, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, notice this, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is the day drawing near? Yes, it is. The day of Jesus Christ. Is it nearer this week than it was last week? Yes, it is. So you and I are more in need of each other and encouragement now than we were a week ago. And next week we will be too. So why are we happy and content to drink from the well once a week? Let's drink as much as we can. Come to the fountain. Get filled up. There's life there. This is not about checking a box and saying, I did the thing, and now let me go on and live miserably. It's about come to the source of life. Jesus, his door is open all day long. This fountain is running constantly. And how many... So that fountain that'll quench your thirst, we're just not, it's right there. We're not drinking from it. Why? I think it's because we're so distracted. I think in part we believe that we can be quenched at another well, and we cannot, and we know it. But I think also we've just got so many things before us. Let's close out some of that stuff and open up our eyes to a little bit more of this stuff. To be filled up with the Holy Spirit, that means keep coming to God, keep praying to God, keep opening up the Word, keep drinking it in, keep being with other good people, be around each other as much as possible. Church, let's be around each other as much as possible. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but even other nights outside of that, as much as possible. Have people into your house. It doesn't have to be formal. Have someone over. Get together. Drink some coffee together. Iron sharpens iron. Be together more. That's drinking in the Spirit. If you're doing it with a good Christian who's going to help make you better, that's part of how we do it. Have devotions as a family. Be in the Word together in your homes. We are in need of the Holy Spirit more so than we are in need of water. David said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. That deer, it knows to go to that water. It's thirsting, it's hot, it goes to that water and it drinks. David says, my soul is just like that and it's in need of you. You and I, we need him and we need more of him, not less, constantly. So let's encourage one another and do it all the more as we say, see the day drawing near. If you need Jesus, if you wish to give him your life, he's the greatest. He changed my life. He brought me out of darkness. He gave me hope and he gave me life. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Not as an employee. The Lord changed my life for real in a deep level. And he will change yours too. If you need him, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.